Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alrighty, hour number 2 here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It's funny because context is everything. So as you hear that new open, that last clip about me saying what I said about the Pats, about how they're not even going to be 8-8, so why even bother trying? It almost seems like I'm just saying, you know, go 3-13 and take it on the chin and accept it and almost enjoy it. You know, no. There obviously is more to it than that. My point, which may have been lost, or I believe it really is lost there, is that they're just so far, in my opinion, away from being a championship-level team that a one-year reset is the prudent thing to do. They've got the fan equity. So what? You have a rough season, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11. That's okay. Evaluate, reboot, come back in 2021. Fans will still be waiting. Don't jump into a marriage with Jameis Winston if you don't love him, or Cam if you don't love him. That's where that came from. Just wanted to clarify.
No, I hear what you're saying, but you also sound like a Jets fan who just wants an opportunity at the division.
Well, of course,
after
that too.
2 decades.
Of course.
I mean, listen. Yeah, look, I just don't see that being in Bill Belichick's DNA. I just don't see it. He's cocky. He's quiet. He's very confident in his own ability, not to mention his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. There's no way he's sitting by saying, yeah, we'll take a reset season. He wants to continue to show that he's the best at what he does. So we'll see how this all plays out. I mean, they got a lot of time to make these ultimate decisions about who's going to be their starter. Mm-hmm. And somebody will win it, but it won't be Tom Brady for the first time in a long time.
Get to a little baseball here in a moment. Next segment, prominent agent laying out plans to push this thing into December. Basically play the World Series on Christmas. Aside from laughing at said super agent, we'll at least give you some of the components of the details. But I wanted to, and also my all-time team, which I finally got around to. I said, well, finally, it took me a day. But I said I was going to do it, and I did it for you. I'll lay it on you. But I have a little problem with Bruce Arians, who I love, and who is going to be on the show. Is that confirmed? Is he on the show tomorrow? I don't want to just keep guessing. D-Cell, Mike, is he good tomorrow?
Not sure if he's totally not fully good yet, okay, but we talked to the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
so
all right, so probably tomorrow, but most definitely very soon. We'll have, and we love Bruce, but I don't know why he keeps doing this. Here's a quote. All right, he was asked about, I guess it was on the Rich Eisen show, and he was asked about, you know, Tom Brady and obviously by extension Jameis Winston. Here's what he said about Jameis. Quote: I called a couple of teams and I told them you're going to get one of the hardest workers you've ever had and a great young man. Boom. Great quote. Perfect way to end it, except he wasn't done. Then he goes on and he says, it didn't work out for us only because Tom Brady was available. You know what? I can understand that. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Even if he's 43, he's the GOAT. I guess you have a chance to get him. You have to get him. Well, he wasn't done there either. Then he said, and we had Teddy Bridgewater. If that hadn't worked, I mean, this is actually comical when you read this. If that hadn't worked out, we were going full steam back with Jameis. I mean, I know he's trying to help him. I know that.
Yes.
And I know he's trying to compliment him. But that looks worse than almost saying nothing, in my opinion.
I don't think so, because the assumption without him saying anything would be Bruce Arians was done with Jameis Winston. He wanted nothing to do with him. There was something about him. We don't know exactly because he didn't say it. This is if he hadn't said anything. He didn't say it. So we have to make assumptions that he's not working hard enough, or he's not smart enough, or he just can't figure it out. and like it drops Jameis farther down on their wish list. Not that he's at the top of anybody's wish list, but I think this is just the nature of Bruce Arians. It's how he has always worked with quarterbacks. It's not like he's just coaching the kid. It's not like he says, "All right, I'm your coach. See you on at you know at 8 o'clock on Monday, and we'll go through the process and hopefully get better." Bruce Arians is come over for dinner on Friday evening in the off season. Bring your family, and I want to get to know you because that's the only way that I can coach you. And so I think Bruce has gotten to know Jameis really well in the short time that he was working with him, and he understands what his motivations are, and he understands that he does work his ass off. I think we know that about Jameis. The question is, you know, can he ever stop making those dumb mistakes that cost his team games? And Bruce wasn't willing to put up with it for another year, knowing that he himself, meaning Bruce, might be at the end of his career. Let's not forget, he's also talking about leaving or setting in place a hierarchy for when he leaves. That's why he's put so much responsibility on his offensive coordinator, African American Byron Leftwich. It's why he's grooming these guys to take over for him at some point when he decides to walk away. It could be next year, it could be 2 years from now. We don't know. If we get him on, we can ask him. But I think he didn't have the patience to sit with Jameis Winston for another year, especially with Tom Brady being available.
No, Batique, I know that. And I'm not even questioning the decision. I believe that it's probably the right decision. I'm not saying,
I'm explaining why he would like clarify this stance to other executives about Jameis. Because without him saying anything,
the Bridgewater part makes it look bad. And I like Teddy. Let's not make Teddy. He's not special. There's Tom Brady. To put Teddy Bridgewater in the same sentence, which in essence is what he's doing, because he's lumping Bridgewater in Brady's category as being more favorable than Winston, to me is a disservice to the kid. That's all I'm saying. I just don't think it looks good.
He doesn't have a... He doesn't have enough of a portfolio to actually judge him on. Like, he played, 12 games his rookie season. His next season, he played really well, took the Minnesota Vikings to the postseason. They were 11-5 under him. His numbers weren't, blow you away. I don't even think he threw for 3,500 yards. But he was a good leader for the Minnesota Vikings. And then we know what happened in the offseason of 16 with his knee blowing up. And it took him 3 years, basically, to get right. And in a very small sample, very, very small sample in New Orleans, with good weapons, not dissimilar to the weapons that they have in Tampa Bay, he went 5-0, BT, and he was great. 9-2, a touchdown interception ratio, and he looked like a franchise quarterback. So yeah, it's a small sample size relative to Jameis' sample size, but the one thing that you don't see with Teddy Bridgewater is a plethora of mistakes. Right.
Yeah.
You just don't see that. And I think in Bruce Arians' mind, that was more important than the upside. Like, the downside was more important, or was less important than the upside.
Yeah. But that's like throwing the 7 at the bar, or the 7.5 at the bar, into the Jennifer Aniston end of the pool. I mean, because Teddy Bridgewater's the 7 or 7, maybe an 8 on his best day.
I don't think he was.
And Brady's Aniston.
I don't think he was comparing him to Tom Brady. I think he had a wish list. It was, tell me the quarterbacks you want that are available right now. I have no interest in Andy Dalton. I have no interest in Phillip Rivers. I have no interest in Cam Newton. I have no interest in, we don't have, the opportunity to get any of these kids in the draft, really. And I don't want a young kid to come in and start at the end of my career, meaning Bruce's career. So there's three options here. Tom Brady, which he said at the combine. Which was tampering, but whatever, is my wish list. Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to become a free agent, and Jameis Winston, who was also a free agent. Winston ended up being at the bottom of the list.
Just say Brady. You got Brady.
You know why?
You got Brady.
You know why? Because if you ask Bruce something, he's going to tell you the truth. Bruce is a straight shooter.
That is true.
He doesn't care about what you think about him. He doesn't care about, if you think he went askew. Bruce is Bruce, right? I got my Kango on. I'm the coolest cat in the room.
No, I don't care what you say.
And I'm telling you the truth. We had a hierarchy. Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, and Jameis Winston. Not like Jameis was sixth. It's not like Jameis was behind Andy Dalton. If we had to
Maybe they cut him off. Maybe the conference call ended. Maybe he was going to be behind Marcus Mariota.
Maybe. I mean, look, he's trying to help out Jameis. I get it. Jameis is just in a rough situation right now, not dissimilar to Cam Newton's situation, as we've talked about over the last couple of days. Somebody will take a shot because there's no way Jameis is not on somebody's team next year.
It's
a long time to wait for Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my Steelers prediction, which was incredibly off the radar when we made it about a month or so ago. Who knows if it comes to fruition? But I wanted to throw that by, and hopefully, again, we'll have Bruce maybe tomorrow, but certainly within the next few days. And I know we're working on Sean Payton as well, already in contact with the Saints. So, all right, Teak, tomorrow would have been opening day, and the red, white, and blue bunting and the fielding that comes with it, full ballparks before they're back down to 18,000, you know, the next night for most cities. You know, opening day here in Cincinnati, a full house of 43,000. Game two, we have 13-9. I mean, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, but it's all good. And I was inspired. I said this on the air that I was going to give you, our audience, and obviously you by extension, the my all-time Major League Baseball squad. And I didn't actually construct a batting order. I just went around the horn. Maybe I'll actually do a batting order at some point, because that's pretty interesting, too, see where you slot these guys. But I'll just rip through it. I don't even know if you have any questions. It's on my Twitter account, at Brandon Tierney, or maybe even more so than questions, any points. But by all means, just jump in and intercept and volley something if you feel the need. If not, I'll just keep going. You ready?
Yep.
All right. First base, I'm going Lou Gehrig. There weren't many others that I considered slightly. Jimmy Fox, I wanted somebody that I know can pick it. I thought about Pujols for a little bit as well, but I went with Lou Gehrig. Second base is a challenge, because second base, there's like second base and shortstop, and even third base, there seems to be the fewest great players, if you will. I got a lot of kickback. A lot of people said, why not Joe Morgan? Some people said, you know, younger fans said, why not Robbie Cano? I'm going Roberto Alomar, and not Alomar with the Mets, or not the Alomar who spat in the face of Hirschbeck with the Orioles. I'm going with Robbie Alomar, who, when he was with Toronto, and San Diego to start, really, San Diego, Toronto, and even Baltimore for a couple of years, Roberto Alomar was the best second baseman I've ever seen in my life fielding. Just incredible. So I'm going Gehrig, and he had a little sneaky pop as well, and a lifetime 300 hitter. Gehrig, and never connected to steroids, although you never know, but never connected. Gehrig at first, Alomar at second. I'm going Honus Wagner at shortstop. Obviously, that's a real reach into the past of the game, and I wanted to try to incorporate all the different generations. Not where I compromised something I believed, but I believe strongly enough in the stats behind Honus Wagner and the way historians, you know, place him and revere him. Jeter wasn't a great shortstop. I'm sorry. Didn't have great range. Ripken wasn't a high average hitter. A-Rod was on roids. Garcia Parra broke down as well. To me, the Ozzie Smith didn't hit like Honus Wagner. Honus Wagner at shortstop. Third base, I originally had George Brett. And then right before I tweeted this out, I said, you know what? Because George is one of my all-time favorite players, lefty hitter, et cetera. I said, I got to go with Mike Schmidt. Mike was a superior fielder. A ton of gold gloves. Brett only has one or two over third base. Plus, George moved to first base, and Schmitty had more power. I'm going to go Mike Schmidt at third. I'm going to go Johnny Bench, the big red machine. Got to have some representation there behind the dish. So I got bench catching. So Gehrig, Alomar, Honus Wagner, Mike Schmidt is my infield. Johnny Bench, the catcher. Barry Bonds in left. Obviously caught a lot of heat for that, Teak, from the steroids. Got a lot of heat on that one.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was great before the steroids.
Oh, yeah. Now, what I was going to do, that was a tough one, too. Not so much because of the steroids, but I wanted to find a way to get Ted Williams on this team. So I made Ted Williams my DH, knowing that Barry Bonds was a superior athlete and outfielder, even though Ted played the outfield role pretty well in Fenway. And I thought about maybe Ricky in that spot, Ricky Henderson in left, but I went with Bonds. Bonds in left, Willie Mays in center, Babe Ruth in right field, Ted Williams, the DH, starting pitcher from the right side. This drew some criticisms as well. A lot of people said, well, why not Tom Seaver? Why not Nolan Ryan, who was never even in consideration for me, not Nolan. Seaver was. Why not Pedro? Pedro is the one that people thought I omitted. I'm going with Greg Maddux. I went with Greg Maddux as my righty. My lefty is Sandy Koufax. And my closer is, of course, the only one that you can really consider, the great Mariano Rivera. Gehrig, Alomar, Wagner, Schmidt, bench, Barry Bonds, Willie Mays in center, Babe Ruth in right, Ted Williams, DH, Maddux, Koufax, and Mariano Rivera. There it is. Nice. That's my all-time team, brother.
Pretty good list. Pretty good list. I wish I was passionate enough about baseball like you are to give my own, which I'm not.
Well, listen, like I said yesterday, no, I get it. That's why, yeah, that's why I wanted to do the first 8 minutes on Arians. I didn't want to just drone on for 15 minutes about my all-time squad. I didn't want to be selfish with the airtime. But there will be a day, because trust me, we're going to be looking for content, buddy, where you will be doing something like this, and you might not yet know it, but you are going to construct your all-time NFL team against guys you played with and against. And I can volley, because now I know all the players, so I can volley back with you with football, maybe a little bit more than you can with baseball, but I want you to do that for our audience. Not tomorrow, not next week. We'll hit a slow point. You got to promise you'll construct that for us. Cool?
Of course. Of course. Right, there were some greats that I played against and with.
Who's the first one that jumps out? Who's
Michael Strahan. Strahan, okay. Without a doubt. Because he was a great locker room leader for us.
Sean Taylor on your team?
What's that?
Sean Taylor on your team?
Yeah, he would be. Sean Taylor is making a lot of lists I see floating around the social media right now. Mm-hmm. Most of that is based on his college career, but his attitude in the NFL was just vicious.
Mm-hmm.
Vicious. He was a great – I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He was a vicious football player. He could flip the switch into from, you know, I'm a good dude to I hate you and I'm going to rip your head off.
Let me ask you a question. How few people can actually do – it seems – well, how few people can actually do that?
Very few, BT, because you have personal relationships.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true.
He didn't care. Mm-hmm. At least he seemingly didn't care. Absolute on Sundays.
Warrior. Oh, Sean Taylor was a warrior. We're getting that list soon, Teak, so that's coming from Tiki Zen, I promise. All right, coming up. Most believe, based on where we are now, baseball's going to have to shorten its season, obviously, but there's one big name who has an idea to find a way to squeeze in all 162. We'll get to that coming up next. Justin Jefferson, by the way, formerly of LSU, one of the top draft prospects, wide receiver. The draft is stacked with him. He joins us at 4:40 Eastern. Our good friend Amy Trask, the brilliant, great Amy, at 5:20 Eastern, 2:20 Pacific. So we got a lot going on. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. Well, if you need a wide receiver, you might have this young man's name called with your team's logo next to it. Whenever the draft is, if it goes on as scheduled, late April, or if it's pushed back, Justin Jefferson, former LSU wideout, one of the top wideout draft prospects. He will join us coming up next segment. Amy Trask, all-around brilliant person and great woman, great friend. Amy will join us coming up in hour number three here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, Teak, Scott Boras. Now, Scott Boras has submitted proposals to Major League Baseball for both a 162-game and 144-game slate to the league for consideration. Now, what's probably the most interesting dynamic to the plan is that the postseason would run through December with a potential Game 6. You ready? Hark the herald angels sing, Noel. There's the pitch, Noel. I mean, come on. Santa Claus is coming to town, and the Yankees lead 3-1. Game 6 of the World Series taking place on Christmas. Under Boras's incredibly whacked out, absolutely impossible to implement proposal, the postseason would be hosted in three California stadiums: Dodger Stadium, Angel Stadium, and Petco Park. So Oakland and San Francisco lose out. And eight other domed parks: Miami, Seattle, Arizona, Milwaukee, Toronto, Houston, St. Petersburg, And Arlington, Rangers had that new stadium coming. It's got a dome. The old one didn't. So while he didn't identify specifically which stadium would host the World Series under the proposal, I mean, come on. I mean, I have read creative things. I have read things that make you think. Is one of the dumbest things from a smart guy that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This makes no sense.
This is all about preventing.
I'd rather cancel the season, honestly.
Yeah, this is all about, because it's so unfair to the home teams. Like, this is one of the beauties of baseball, is that if you make the postseason and you make the World Series, I guess they're one and the same in a sense, but there's some redundancy there. But if you're in the World Series, you're getting World Series games at home. Right, it's in your backyard. It's your ballpark. You have the advantage in some regards as a fan. So you're gonna move them to places, because obviously certain parts of this country you just can't play baseball in December. It's too cold, or the elements will be too bad, or it could be under a foot of snow, which could be great for the image, but very bad for the product on field. What this is all about, as you well know, as I do, it's about preventing proration of some of his star salaries. And, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, these guys are making, $35 million a year anyways. Well, you know, who cares if they get $5 or $10 million, cut off their salary? It is a big deal. And if I'm the players, I want every dime of what my contract says. With that being said, however, given the circumstances that you're in, if the league for its own viability has to prorate salaries, then that just is what it is, right? It's something that's going to have to be worked out between the union and the owners. But it's just the circumstances we find ourselves in. You know, there's many more people that are much worse off. Trust me. So Scott Boras putting this out there as if it's some grand plan that, I don't know, we're all going to like champion and get behind. He must be delusional.
It's ridiculous. Just imagine if the coronavirus had permeated our country last year. All right. And Scott Boras's idea was actually implemented. These are the playoff teams in the American League. The Yankees would be forced to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
The Tampa Rays would actually, you wouldn't put them in Tampa necessarily, but they would lose out on the benefit of playing a home game, because you couldn't reward them. And even though Tampa's a dome, you'd have to send them somewhere else.
Yep.
That's just inherently unfair from a competitive point of view. So they get the two teams in the East, obviously get hosed, cold weather, or one cold weather city. The Minnesota Twins, that's a cold weather city. The Astros are a dome. The A's, it gets chilly up there, trust me. And the A's were not one of the three California teams used. Washington, D.C. is no picnic in December.
No.
St. Louis gets a little chilly for sure. Milwaukee's got the dome, not an issue with the Dodgers. Forget about Scott Boras for a second. You know what I'd like to see? And I have no confidence that this will be the case, unfortunately. I would like to see Rob Manfred using this time almost as a one-time dartboard. Honestly, a one-time dartboard. And once a week, because baseball is months away from getting back on the field for real, once a week, smartly plant the story, whether you want to use Passan from ESPN or Buster Olney or somebody from the MLB Network or a debate show, whatever you want to do, plant it with your most reliable source that will gain the most traction. Throw something against the dartboard, something creative, something wacky. Have somebody presented to the masses almost for you. Not that you use them, but they get to break a story, so they get credit. But you're kind of, I guess you're kind of using them as a liaison to judge the public sentiment, and just get into the laboratory and be creative for once.
Yeah.
Like I know Silver will do that. I even think the NFL will.
He's already talking about it. Yeah, he's already talking about it.
Of course.
Adam Silver and the NFL certainly will. I don't think baseball will. I mean, in some regards, like, what makes baseball so compelling and, I guess, full of nostalgia is the fact that it doesn't change that much. Like, the rules don't evolve as fast or as impactfully as some of the other sports have. And the game doesn't. You know, it's a guy can only throw so fast, right? And you're never going to see a guy throw 120, right? And, you know, a ball can only go so far, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so the fact that it does stay a lot of the same is kind of part of the appeal. Well, that being said, they're competing just like every other sport or entertainment in a vehicle for eyes. And if you can find a way, unfortunately, because of the circumstances, to I don't know, truncate the season or play more doubleheaders or whatever the circumstances are that makes fans more compelled to go see, then you should absolutely do that. I just don't think they're talking about it.
You know what the other problem, too, from a scheduling point of view, and I think this is certainly more or will be more evident for baseball than the NFL is pretty much cut and dry. You know who you're playing. You got your divisional foes, and then obviously the rotational divisions around football. Every 4 years, you mix it up. So we know what that is, so there's nothing to really splice there. And you're not going to have a condensed NFL season. The NBA, at this point, if you came back and played 10 games to get in shape and lopped off the final 10 games of the year, nobody would care. So you're fine there. But baseball's issue, they're going to play a condensed season, obviously. So let's say they play 120 games. And they leave 42 on the table, which is very plausible. Matter of fact, I think it's probably going to be more. But let's just say they leave 40-plus on the table. You can't have, for example, you know, the easy one for me is the Yankees and the Rays. But I want to go outside the Yankees. You can't have the Cardinals and the Brewers. And the Cardinals won 91 times a year ago. They won the division. And the Brewers won 89. They were the wild card in the NL Central. You can't have them play each other, I don't know, 10 times, but yet have the Cardinals play the Pirates 8 and have the Brewers play the Pirates 4. Because the Pirates were a 69-win team a year ago, the balance is going to be almost impossible. So you can't have the perceived good teams play their perceived bad times something that's not equitable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, not exactly what you're saying. That's
a big problem for baseball.
It is a big problem for baseball. There has to be a semblance of balance. And if there isn't, then at some point, people are going to complain about it. And that's not fair to anybody.
No, they have a lot of work in front of them. And so do we. So once these stories come out, we'll throw it around. We'll see if it makes sense. Probably most things will shoot down. But I'm sure we'll get some creative ideas, and we'll come up with some of our own. I mean, this is what it's a laboratory for thought, and it's all good. All right, coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, a deep wide receiver draft, and let's face it, one of the top names, LSU's Justin Jefferson, national champ, and a stud at the wideout position. He joins us next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Well, we're all jonesing for college hoops. Trust me, we know you want to see college basketball this time of the year. So tune into CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long. Tiki got his fill last night with the little wahoo wah back to back to back and the NCAA tournament rewind. So CBS and CBS Sports Network cooking you up, giving you some basketball fix and relive some of the best moments from March Madness. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. By the way, if you have yet to vote on our poll question, short and sweet, should the NFL push back the draft? Right now, just go and do it. At Tiki and Tierney, yes, irresponsible not to, 28%. 53% of you say, nope, show must go on, keep it as is. And roughly 19% of you right now say, still in the process of evaluating. This young man was evaluated every Saturday, and every time the evaluation went down, he passed with flying colors. Just had a sick season. I mean, well over 100 catches, well over 1,500 yards, 18 touchdowns. He's a big kid, 6'3", 190. You know he'll add some more weight as he gets into the NFL. One of the top wide receivers in an absolutely stacked class. We're talking about Justin Jefferson from LSU, national champ. Justin, Tiki and Tierney, welcome to the show. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Congrats on a great season, pal.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations on the national championship as well. I got a chance to watch you guys live when you played Alabama, and it was a show. I mean, there's a lot of great wide receivers on the field that day. You know, but you know, the question I have for you, because your draft stock is just rising. It's flying up, and it starts because of what you did at the scouting combine when you ran under 4.4, and people expected you to run 4.5 or 4.6 or something like that. This right. process, I mean, it's exciting. It obviously always is. I remember going through it myself. What's been the most surprising part of it for you? But what's been the most nerve-wracking part of it for you so far?
Well, I'm going to start with the nerve-wracking first. Probably the most nerve-wracking is probably just finishing off with the national championship and, not having as much time as everybody else to train. So, like 3 days after the national championship, I'm going to IMG and going training for the combine. So that's probably the most nerve-wracking part, just, making sure that, you're mentally prepared to, you know, go into these meetings with different coaches, and also being ready to, you know, go and perform the best you can or during the combine.
Yeah, and you know what complicates this, Justin. I'm not sure if they've added or they've even sent out the green room invites. I don't know. You're obviously very highly rated, but it just seems like what was supposed to be this incredible spectacle, getting on a boat, getting, you know, going to shake the commissioner's hand, the Vegas was going to be absolutely just incredible. And now it's going to be dialed down big time to a point that is sad, although it's obvious why we're doing this. How much of the unknown portion of what draft day experience will be do you wonder about? Because this is the one time you get a chance to do that, shake the commissioner's hand.
Right. I mean, to me, I'm not really, you know, it doesn't really matter. Whatever date they set for the draft, I'm fine with. So, I mean, that's their decision.
Were you planning on going if you were invited?
I'm not 100% sure yet. I mean, we still have some time. Some time left to really, you know, think about the draft and everything. So I wasn't, you know, 100% sure yet, but, you know, of course I had it in mind.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking to Justin Jefferson, terrific receiver, LSU national champ. Justin, do us a favor. We've all dissected Joe Burrow. Let's get to some of your teammates and bounce around a little bit. Take us through the 2019 season, which for Burrow was historic, and your teammates, incredible. The Joe Burrow in the huddle. What is he like? Joe Burrow barking out the plays, you know, getting ready to get you guys in the end zone. What is Joe like in the huddle?
Joe's definitely that guy that has that confidence. I mean, he's 100% focused during the game. I mean, but so is us. So, I mean, having a quarterback like that and to know that going into the game, we're confident that he's going to make those right throws and we're confident that, you know, he's going to set us up to win the game. So having Joe, it just was an easier job for us. And we just went out there and just made those big plays for him and set us up for the national championship.
I just want to follow up on that. No, I hear you. And, you know, we've had him on the show. I met him once. He's definitely a confident kid. He's very composed. I think he's got a great presence. But is he the kind of kid where, or young man at this point, where if somebody runs the wrong route, will he bark at a teammate? Like, does he have that kind of leadership where, all right, we know this is Joe's deal and Joe's deal only. Does he have that kind of personality?
Oh, definitely. I feel any quarterback that wants to win, wants to be the best, will do that. So, I mean, we get on each other for messing things up. So, Joe's not perfect, and so are we. So, you know, whatever we need to do to get back on the right page, you know, we do so on the sideline or even in practice, just going over those extra reps, making sure, you know, we have that connection down pat.
You know, Justin, last season for you guys was epic, and it was beautiful if you put it all into perspective at the end of the season. But during the season, I mean, it was markedly different watching the offense last season, the one that you just finished, the one the year before. And we all know why it changed and how it opened up a lot more. But when did you all hit the point where you felt like, man, we are as good as we thought we could be?
Right. I mean, this whole LSU was mostly a defensive school. So, you know, Tyron Matthews, Patrick Peterson,
yep.
Mo Claiborne, all these different top guys that came from defense. So we knew that we were going to be good on defense. We knew that, you know, our defense was always going to be up to par. So we always felt the offense was letting the defense down. So this year, when Coach Joe came in with this new pro-style offense and had us spreading the ball around, getting the ball to different guys in open space, we fell in love with it. So, you know, we took it upon ourselves to run away with this new offense that we had. And, I mean, it was even better just having different playmakers on offense to get the ball downfield. So, It was just a no-brainer for us. And we just fell in love with the offense, and we took it and ran with it.
Yeah, you know, this is unfair to ask you this question, but was it easier for you because your teammates are so great? I mean, you and obviously Ja'Marr Chase, who I think led the team in touchdowns, despite you having 18. Terrace as well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, it's, everywhere you look, there was a stud. There was no one you could just ignore. Did that make it easier for you in a sense?
Definitely. And I mean, it's even. I'm pretty sure it's even easier for Joe. Having different guys to go to, just not having, you know, only one person on offense to make those big plays. So it definitely was easier for me, and I'm pretty sure it was easier for Joe as well.
So that's Justin Jefferson. You know, Justin, you sound like an incredibly humble and focused young man, and that's a great reflection of how you were raised, and you try to keep it in check, obviously. You know, your life's about to change pretty soon. And I know, you know, getting for the positive, getting drafted is a blessing. And, you know, whomever drafts you, you'll go and you'll put your best foot forward. I get all that. But if you were to be incredibly candid and really honest with us here, if I said, what's more desirable to you, all things considered, even going to a team with an established veteran quarterback or going to a team with one of these young stud quarterbacks and growing together, which do you think would be more appealing to you?
Me personally, I'd probably say going to a team with a more experienced quarterback. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, these young quarterbacks are going to be great as well. So, don't get me wrong. If I'm getting drafted to a team with a young quarterback, you know, I'm all for it. We're going to grow. We're going to get better together, and, we're going to succeed together. But having that quarterback that's already been in the league, and you know, they already had the winning, the all these different things to go with a great quarterback. So you know, having that experience as an NFL quarterback, that's, I feel like they have the advantage right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. How is this slowdown in the world right now? How's it impacted you? Like, how you training? How you staying ready with everything that's going on with the coronavirus?
It's crazy. All of this is crazy. Everything just turned around very suddenly and out of nowhere. So just having to really go off of just not being able to leave the house and not being able to visit different teams, not having a pro day, you know, they having, you know, conversations about the NFL draft. So it's definitely tough, definitely hard to just, you know, stop everything you was doing, stop, you know, visiting the teams and everything, having to really just train on your own and not having, you know, a trainer or having somebody work with you to push your body to do better. So
yeah,
it's definitely difficult, but I mean, it is what it is. So you got to work what you have.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You were talking earlier about the defensive stars that have come out of LSU, and you're selling some of the offensive players short. Obviously, Leonard Fournette was there. Odell Beckham Jr. was there. Jarvis Landry as well. There's a little bit of a pedigree developing for wide receivers, because I mentioned the other two guys that you played with. It's in some ways becoming wide receiver you. Have those guys reached out to you at all? And, you know, what are you learning, or have you learned from them being as alumni of your university?
Oh, I've talked to every single one of them. Every person you just named just now on offense, I've talked to them. So, I mean, talking to Odell and Jarvis, especially, you know, they're in my position. They had success when they were also at LSU, and they're doing tremendous things at the pro level. So just being in their ear and just listening to everything that they're really telling me, and just being mentally and physically prepared to reach this next chapter in my life. And I mean, of course, I'm trying to be the best receiver in the NFL, and especially in the draft this year. So just doing whatever it takes to become the best, and to not settle for less.
All right, all I need to know before we let you go, that money Odell was flashing the night you guys won, was that real?
It was real.
I love it. I love you kept it
Don't
honest,
give it
too.
Back. You have to. What are they going to do? They can't take your championship back. Whatever. You're going to the pros, brother. You're going to get a lot more of that green. That's for sure. Justin Jefferson. Hey, listen, it's obviously the most unique draft circumstances for anybody really ever. Enjoy it as much as you can. Try to stay safe and stay sane and really looking forward to see you at the next level. I think we all expect big things out of you, man. Enjoy this run as much as you can.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care, Justin. Good luck.
There you go. Justin Jefferson. You know, I got to tell you, I want to hear his answer about the young quarterback or the veteran quarterback. I loved his answer. Not that the other one would have been wrong, but, you know, I don't know. Given the two options, would I have preferred to have heard a young receiver say, oh, yeah, man, I want to go to that team with the young quarterback. We can get it popping together. Or not want to go and I want to learn. I want to play with somebody who could show me. I think I'll take the latter in terms of at least verbalizing from Justin's point of view, a kid who seems like he's really ready to transition to the NFL.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he mentioned it with the new offense that they put in that was so wide open in pro-ish style. They learned a lot that's going to help them on the next level because it's not always about you, right? Some colleges you go to, it's like there's one guy and you're going to feature that one guy. But when you got to share targets, I didn't even mention Thaddeus Moss, who was the tight end, who's dealing with some foot issues as he heads into this draft, Randy Moss's kid. I mean, there's four legit receiving targets, and then Clyde Helaire coming out of the backfield. You had to share the football. So I think it was great in this offense for him to prepare to be in whatever circumstance he gets to in the National Football League.
Okay, good stuff. Coming up third hour, Amy Trask, who is phenomenal. We have Amy coming up, but directly up next, coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Cuban actually excited for the delayed start finish to the season, I should say. Find out why he's actually pumped up about this. It's interesting. Talk about that next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.